your Bible to Matthew 14. We're going to be there just for tonight, Matthew 14. And Linda, come sing for us, and then we'll have the lesson tonight. We're not in a series of any kind right now with missions ending, and I was out last Wednesday with in Kentucky. So just one night lesson tonight for us. Thank you.
They're fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He
message of that song, don't you? He's not too busy to care about you. Reminds me of that song, you know, my father has a great big family, and that Don Reardon used to sing that, I think, here years ago. Man, that was a blessing. And that line, I never wait in line, I never wait in line to talk to the Lord. That's good. Good stuff. Thank you, Glenda, for that good song tonight. Matthew 14, look at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And I want to just teach tonight a little bit, just talk a little bit, a little lesson called, I'm just calling this, Blessings in Disguise. Blessings in disguise. Father, help us tonight. Thank you for the great song, reminding us about your tremendous care for each one of us. Maybe it's a little theme you want us to be reminded of. It's on the board outside, and you had Glenda sing about it. So, Lord, we're just reminded of how much you care for us. And you hang the stars out to shine, and know them all by name, know all the numbers of the hairs on our head. But, Lord, you're not too busy to take time for us. Thank you for your great care. Help me tonight to be a blessing and encouragement to your people on this Wednesday evening. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Have you ever had a blessing in disguise? A blessing that came your way, but it was wrapped in disguise. That is, it was something that did not appear to be or look like a blessing, but as it unfolded, it became very apparent to you that it was indeed a great blessing. There was a man who used to help me in the youth ministry out in Iowa when I was the youth director there for Brother Brown. His name was Ron Niebel. He worked with his father-in-law. They were pig farmers. Had a great big confinement set up out there in the country, and lots of acreage and lots of hogs. But Ron was a great big help, and his wife in the youth ministry. And I remember after I left Iowa and came here, he had a small physical problem, and it was kind of one of those things where, you know, you don't really want to take the time to go to the doctor, but it just kept on bugging him, so he finally said, okay, I better go. And upon going to the doctor and their examination of this small little physical problem, they found out that he had a much bigger one, and they were able to head that off at the pass. And what was kind of an irritant to him for a while was actually a blessing in disguise, because it prevented something much bigger from happening down the road. Now, the disciples received a blessing in disguise on their trip across the sea. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men had just ended, and Jesus was preparing to send the multitudes away. He said that twice in this passage. I'm going to send the multitudes away. Now, the disciples wanted to send the multitudes away earlier, but they would have been sent away by the disciples in a whole lot different shape than the way Jesus sent them away. Because remember, the disciples wanted to send them away because send them away so they can get something to eat. Jesus said, no, we're not going to send them away hungry. When Jesus sent them away hungry, every man had eaten as much as he wanted. Because that's what Jesus told the disciples when they took the bread and fish to him. You tell every man to eat as much as they would. Now, can you imagine telling some of the fellows around here that, some of us? Eat as much as you want. They didn't just take a little bitty bit because they were afraid it was going to run out. I believe when the basket came to each person, it was ready for them to take as much as they wanted. And there were 12 baskets full that were remaining. And Jesus, when He sent the multitudes away, He sent them away full, not empty. Now, that miracle had just ended. And as He was preparing to send the multitudes away, Jesus gave command to His disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side before Him. You see that in verse number 22. Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Now, it was not long after they'd gotten in the boat and started across the sea. It was not long until they encountered a tremendous storm. I don't believe in karma, but I think it's interesting that we're fixing to fly to Florida and there's a hurricane that may hit while we're down there. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's all we need. But you've heard about that storm that's out in the ocean right now. I think the Bahamas possibly. They don't know which direction it's going to go. However, it is possible that it's going to smash the East Coast. You heard about Joaquin. I believe it's his name, right? Hurricane Joaquin. And the Mexicans are everywhere. Remember that? Amen. So here comes Hurricane Joaquin, and it's going to smash the East Coast, and it could be that Washington, D.C. will be right in its path. And they say that even if it doesn't, if the winds don't come, there's still going to be much water, much flooding and everything. And I think that's interesting, because our president has been kicking Israel under the bus here, over and over and over again, kicking Israel under the bus, playing footsie with Vladimir Putin and Russia and John Kerry and all of them over there. And everything that they do just, you know, is anti-Israel, 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 anti-Israel. And every time anybody has done something like that, God has retaliated. So don't be surprised if I don't make it back for a couple months. You know, I'm stuck in Florida. It'd be a horrible place on the beach in the condo. But, you know, when the weather gets right, when the weather breaks, we'll fly home, okay? But anyway, no, I'm just teasing. So I don't believe in karma, but there's one of all times for there to be a hurricane. We're going to Florida. But anyway, so the storm hit, and the ship was tossed with the waves and the wind. The Bible says the wind was contrary. Now, this was not the first storm on the sea that these men had encountered, but it was one where they had an incredible experience, and one that they would not soon forget. Truth of the matter is, people, storms are to be expected in the course of sailing, and storms are to be expected in the course of life. I try to keep you folks on my heart. I try to keep your situations, especially when you're in difficult situations, close to my heart. And remember to pray for you and ask God to help you, especially if you're going through a time of trial. Two of our men in the last, couple months, you know, were basically given pink slips and said, we no longer have your job. They're not young men. They're not old, but they're older. And they're not young, and they're not the type age where people are just, you know, banging their doors to give them a job. And so things like that come along, sicknesses. Of course, I've had Kelly on my heart since the day we heard the news about the cancer. I think I told you we anointed her with oil last Tuesday night. We could go Tuesday night. And storms are expected in the course of sailing, and storms are to be expected in the course of life. They are. You're not going to sail through life without storms once in a while. And I'm talking to people who know that well. I'm talking to young people who haven't experienced that yet. But you will. And that's not doom and gloom. That's just reality. Storms come in life. But in this case, this storm, I believe, was a blessing in disguise. You see, when the storm hit, Jesus was alone upon a mountain spending some time praying to His Father. He had been up there for some time when the storm hit the boat on the sea. And when the storm hit the boat, it was then that Jesus went to His disciples. So in the chaos of the storm, the disciples saw someone walking on the water to them, and it caused them great fear, and Jesus exhorted them with the be of good cheer. Look at it in verse number 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He said, fellas, don't be afraid. It's me, I'm coming to you. Well, you know, Peter, he and I don't ever find fault with Peter. Probably there's a lot of folks in this church, a lot of us men in this church, who would be very much like Peter if we had been living back then. Peter had to find out, excuse me, for sure that it was Jesus. And when then they, you know, he went out there, and of course he started to sink, and Jesus saved him. And then they both came to the boat, and the storm ceased. Now, so the question is this, was the storm a blessing? Well, it was a blessing in disguise. Because nobody on the surface would call a life-threatening storm out on the water a blessing. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't be out in the boat on the water and a storm hit and say, boy, isn't this a blessing? And I mean, you might say it sarcastically, like Brother Vineyard, ain't that a blessing? But you wouldn't say it was a blessing. Unless the storm was the bridge that brought the presence of Christ to you. And the truth of the matter is, it was the storm that brought the presence of Christ to the disciples. If there had been no storm, they would not have had the joy of having Christ in the boat with them. So the storms in our lives that we dislike on the surface sometimes need to be examined to see if they are indeed blessings in disguise, if the storm we are encountering has really brought us closer to the Lord Jesus than if we hadn't been in the storm at all. Blessings in disguise. Let me show you three things about the storm when Jesus comes tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that when Jesus comes during the storm, He brings cheer. When Jesus comes during the storm, He brings cheer. Look at verse 27 again. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then so He said that to them. I think that's the only time the word cheer is used in that passage. Now, I got to looking at that, thinking about it, meditating on it a little bit yesterday, Monday afternoon yesterday. The word cheer here, that's an interesting word. It does not mean hilarity. It does not mean mirth. What it means is an infusing of life. It's a state of joy or gladness. It is the right word to describe what the presence of Christ brings to us when we are in the midst of a storm. Webster's dictionary said that it is a state, and listen, I thought this was very interesting. It's a state of animation. Animation. An animated cartoon is a cartoon character that has been infused with life. You know, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Foghorn Leghorn, that's my favorite all-time cartoon character. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Foghorn Leghorn were all animated cartoon characters, right? You know, they talked, they walked, they laughed. Get away from me, boy. You bother me. Get away from me, boy. Now, without animation, all they are is drawings on paper. But when animation is added, all of a sudden they walk, they talk, they laugh, and they make you and I. Well, they made you and I laugh. I don't get a kick out of it much anymore. I haven't watched the Foghorn Leghorn cartoon for some years now. But when I was younger, I used to get a kick out of it. Now, think about that for a second. Cheer is a state of animation above gloom and depression, but below mirth and hilarity. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. To be in the storm and exhibit mirth and hilarity would cause people to think that we were ready for the nut house. Ah, man, I got cancer. Isn't this great? That's stupidity. There's nothing spiritual about that. That's ignorance. That's hilarity. That's mirth. Cheer is not hilarity and mirth, but to be in the storm, now listen, and show some bit of life above that of gloom and depression is a great testimony to the presence of Christ. And that's what the presence of Christ brings to you and me during the storm. He brings cheer. I think about Acts 27:22. Remember when Paul was on the boat, on the ship going to Alexandria? And the Euroclodon hits, that great wind, and it blew horribly. And they knew that it was going to be a bad deal. And Paul is down in the hold of that ship. And after how many days was it? I forget how many days he was down there. After a while, he comes up and this is what he says. I now exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. I exhort you to be of good cheer. When Paul exhorted them to be of good cheer, he wasn't jumping up and down like a cheerleader. Come on, fellas. Ha, ha, ha. Don't worry about everything. Hey, this will come to pass. Hey, he's not doing that. They would have looked at him like he was crazy. But he obviously was something more than gloom and doom. He brought some life. He brought some cheer. He brought a little bit of joy. He brought a little bit of gladness in the midst of the storm. He wasn't silly. He wasn't ridiculous. He wasn't crazy. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't dead either. He wasn't a drawing on a piece of paper. And you know, the truth of the matter is, friend, after hearing Paul, they did not become hilarious and silly, but those soldiers, sailors, did show signs of life. They had some work to do, and they did it. They eventually ate some food, and they took care of their business in the midst of the storm. And you know, I was thinking, it's amazing to me to watch people who are full of cheer in the midst of the storm. And I tell you what, when you find somebody who's full of cheer in the midst of the storm, it's a sure testimony that the presence of Jesus Christ is with them. It's animation. It's life in spite of the storm. It's not gloom. It's not doom. It's not morbid. It's not long-faced. It's a real testimony. When we are all gloom and doom because of the storm, friend, we are probably not looking for the presence of Jesus in that storm. We aren't expected to be hilarious in the storm, but I want to tell you something. A child of God can do a little bit better than gloom and doom in the storm when the presence of Christ shows up. When Jesus shows up, when Jesus comes during the storm, He brings cheer. Number two, I want to show you this tonight. When Jesus comes during the storm, He brings control. Now look at verse number 25 and 26. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. Now the storm is hit. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, He's walking on the sea, He is walking on the sea. Now folks, the storm was over the sea, okay? The clouds are dark, and evidently the lightning is probably flashing, and the rain possibly coming down, and the wind was whipping the water. And you know what that means when the wind is whipping the water? The waves were crashing all year, up and down, up and down. The water rises and falls. And if the wind is blowing really hard, the crash of those waves can be really frightening. But Jesus comes to them walking. He's in control. He's walking on the water. Have you ever been on a body of water when the water was really churning? Anybody here ever been seasick? Two or three. Mike Hagee, he had some crazy ideas when I was at that boys' home, and he wanted to do something for us. He meant well, but he took us deep sea fishing in January down in Florida. And I suppose it's probably a twofold thing. He wanted something for us to do in the winter, and it was probably cheap. My guess is it's probably a whole lot cheaper to go deep sea fishing in January than it is in May or June. But anyway, it's the only time I've been deep sea fishing, and it was a disaster because it was not good weather. And we got out there in that little boat, and there was about 12 of us boys, you know. You ever heard the term sick green? So they look green. That's real. We were all laying on the deck of that ship. Nobody ever cast a line in the water. Nobody ever got, I mean, even Brother Mike, we're all just passed out there. And some are worse than others. I wasn't that bad, but some are worse than others. I won't describe it to you, but you can figure it out yourself. They weren't pulling anything out of the water. They were contributing to it. Amen. So it was bad. Because you hear it, but you just, oh man, I just never forget that. I never forget that nausea. It was a different kind of nausea. It was nausea unlike any other nausea I'd ever experienced. Being sick with something. Nauseous. So here was all this chaos in the water because of the storm. And here came Jesus walking on the chaos caused by the storm. I don't know what that pictures to you, but that pictures to me, He's in control. He's stepping on the chaos. To step on something is kind of, I remember, I don't know, some of you football guys may remember more of this. I thought of it because I was thinking about the decorations and this abomination of desolation up here, the Cowboys. But anyway, I remember years ago, the Cowboys, they have a great big star in the middle of their field. On the 50-yard line. And somebody, maybe some of you guys would remember this, years ago, some guy scored a touchdown on the other team in their stadium. And he's in the end zone, and he runs 50 yards to the middle of that field, to that big star, and he just dances on it. He just dances on it. Did anybody remember that happening? I saw that. Nobody, folks, that happened. That really happened, okay? You guys go home and Google that, Ryan. You saw it? Okay, all right, very good. I don't know who it was. It couldn't have been a Chicago Bear. I doubt very seriously. They haven't scored that many touchdowns in the last whatever. But anyway, he just, man, and I'm telling you, buddy, you talk about getting riled up. Man, they were booing that guy. Booing. I just saw a clip of it. Booing. But he was out there just dancing, and that was a sign of, Now, Jesus has no attitude. He doesn't have to have an attitude. Jesus has no attitude, but nonetheless, folks, He's walking on the cause of their fear. He's walking on it. Now, the disciples may not have had any control over the water, but Jesus could walk on it. So He had it under control. And you know what? You understand in the storm when the presence of Christ comes to you, there is nothing the trial or storm can do to us that Jesus does not allow. Nothing. That was true about Joseph in the Old Testament. That was true about Job. That was true about any trial that came to anybody in the Bible. God was always ultimately in control. And when God is ready, He has the power to calm the winds and the waves. And that's exactly what Jesus did in this story. When He was ready, it was peace be still. But it wasn't peace be still until He was ready. He's in control. Now, you know what I thought about? I think about lost people who endure the same kind of storms we do, but without the presence of Christ. Now, you think about that for a minute. I don't have any idea, man. The storm for you and me is the bridge that brings Christ to us. But who comes to them? Young people, you better think about that. Because life is not always hunky-dory. There isn't always good health. And there isn't always sufficient money. And there isn't always everything, you know, under complete control. Look, I am for preparing to get married. I'm for preparing financially to get married. We heard that up at the conference last Tuesday. Brother Sowell, boy, he brought a great message on how to choose the person you're going to marry. Great message. I'm for all of that, but I'm going to tell you something. It's almost like there's a mindset out there that if you do things properly, you can get married and you'll just go right into marriage and never have any problems. And that's not reality. Everybody's going to have trouble. Storms are going to come to everybody. And young people, you listen to me here this very carefully tonight. The worst day you will ever spend as a Christian is better than the best day anybody apart from Jesus ever experiences. And that's the truth. And you're going to have some worse days. You're going to have some. You stand at a marriage altar and you think, you know, this thing is... But there's a reason why those vows say for better, for worse. There's a reason. Things happen. Difficulties come. Storms hit. And when they do, they are a bridge that brings the presence of Christ to us. And when Jesus comes to us in the storm, He brings control. I would rather have a storm with Christ than balmy weather apart from Him. And I mean that with all of my heart. All of my heart. So when Jesus comes during the storm, He brings cheer. When Jesus comes during the storm, He brings a control. And then number three, let me say lastly tonight, when Jesus comes during the storm, He brings confidence. He brings confidence. Look at verses 32 and 33. Now, Peter's gone out there and started to sink, and Jesus saved him, okay? And then verse 32 says, "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Is this the first time that's ever dawned on them? No. Remember, they had been with Jesus for some time during His public ministry before this storm on the sea. They knew previous to this that He was the Son of God. But friend, when He came to them and He brought cheer, when He came to them and He brought control, it just renewed, it reiterated, it gave them new confidence, you know. You are exactly who you say you are. You are truly God. Their confidence in Him grew. It took on some new dimension because He came to them in the storm. And you and I have had this happen along life's trail. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that God is our Heavenly Father. As Glenda's saying tonight, that He's in control of everything, that He cares about us. But you know what? Then something happens and a storm comes and Jesus brings cheer and Jesus brings control. And you know what? We're just reminded of how wonderful our God truly is. That He comes to us in the storm. Their confidence soared. Now, in my opinion, there's always one lesson to be learned in every storm, and different kinds of storms teach us different kinds of lessons. But there is one lesson I believe that God just wants us to learn from every storm. It's something He wants us to learn and relearn and learn and relearn and learn and relearn and learn and relearn and just keep learning it and relearning it. And that lesson is, I can trust Jesus. I can trust Him. I can trust Him. I love that song. I don't know who all sings it. I don't think Stephen Ray Nichols wrote it, but Stephen Ray Nichols sings it with his family. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my... And that's not the tune. That's terrible. Forget it. Amen. Those are the words, but that's not the tune. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. And you know where we learned that and relearned that and relearned that and relearned that? In the storm. In the storm. when the sun's shining, we ought not forget it, but I think sometimes we do. When everything is going our way, it's kind of hard to remember that, you know, oh yeah, I can trust Jesus. But brother, when the storm hits, we're reminded afresh and anew. Boy, thank God. I like what the songwriter said, that beautiful hymn, "Like a River Glorious." I think it's the last stanza. Listen to these words. "Every joy or trial falleth from above." Think about that. You know, when we sing that song, do you soak up those words? Well, I do. I don't do it every time. I'm not this spiritual. But that song, when we sing that song, I soak that up. "Every joy or trial falleth from above." He planned it. "Traced upon our dial, the dial of our life, by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully, all for us to do, they who trust Him wholly, find Him wholly true." Now, when do we trust Him wholly? In the storm. In the storm. Don't look at me with that spiritual face. "I trust God all the time." No, you don't. Because I don't. And we're all made out of the same stinking stuff. It goes good and we're just doing all right. But brother, in the storm, it's kind of, "God, you got to help. You got to help." And they who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. So the storm. Brother Larry, the storm. You get injured at work. Off work for 3 months. Cared by the doctor to go back to work. Walk in and say, "I can work." "You don't have your job anymore." Gave it to somebody else. That's tough. Brother Tom, Kelly, others. Storm. Hey, kids, young people. And I don't, you know, look, I'm not down on you. I'm fine with you. I'm good. I'm good. You know, you're 14, you're 16. Storm. What is a storm? What is a storm? I'm okay with that. Okay? But at 26, you check in with us. At 36, check in. The storm is a blessing in disguise. Because the storm is the bridge that brings the presence of Christ to us afresh and anew. And when Jesus comes in the storm, He brings cheer, not silliness, not ridiculousness. Cheer. Animation, life. He brings control and He brings fresh confidence. And I'm not saying to kick up your heels tonight and act silly, but I'm just saying remember this. The storm could be a blessing in disguise. A blessing in disguise. Little Jack, how's Jack doing? But there was a storm, wasn't there? And God worked in your heart like you never had before. Because the storm is the bridge that brings the presence of Christ to the ship. What a God we serve. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, bless us. Help us, please, and take this lesson tonight and build your people with it and instruct us. And it's easy, Lord, to sit in church and say amen. And yes, we understand. But Lord, help us to live it. And when the storm comes, the next storm that does come, maybe some are in the storm right now, I pray, God, that we would look for the presence of Christ. And when He comes, He brings cheer, He brings control, He brings confidence. And Lord, it's a bridge. It's a blessing in disguise in some ways. So bless tonight. Help us, God, please, to learn everything we can. And thank you for being our great God, our loving Heavenly Father. Lord, bless us tonight. Ladies, would you play that hymn for us, "Like a River Glorious"? Would you play that for us tonight? And if you want to visit the altar quickly, you've got a minute to do that while we wait tonight. You want to come, you obey the Lord, do what God wants you to do.